The fate of tens of thousands of young Central Americans is now in the hands of U.S. immigration courts. I'm talking about kids who are part of that wave of unaccompanied minors detained this year after entering the U.S. illegally. Many of them have been deported, and some who never even got to the U.S. border were deported, too, by Mexico. Jude Joffe Block of station KJZZ traveled to El Salvador, where she met one teenager who'd just been sent back by Mexican authorities.
There's an important bridge in this small town in El Salvador. Locals say it divides the town between two competing gangs, MS-13 on one side and the 18th Street gang on the other. Both started in Los Angeles and now rule parts of El Salvador. The day I visited this bridge, a man rode his bike by me. He wore white Nikes, the kind favored by local gang members. It's an example of the subtle signs people here must notice. But some people here are sick of the gangs. People like Jose. He's 16.
The way things are now, going into the street means danger or death.
I met Jose on a sunny day, just 24 hours after he was deported back here. He was on his way to the U.S. when Mexican immigration officials caught him and his young cousin. It was their second time trying to reach the States. Now that Jose is back, he's trying to keep it a secret.
Because if they find out I'm here, they might come to look for me, at my house, at night. That's what I don't want to happen. It's one thing if they want to hurt me, but they could hurt my whole family.
They are MS-13 gang members. They've threatened to kill Jose because they think he belongs to their rival group. Jose says he's never been in a gang. He's thin and looks younger than 16. He says he likes science and soccer. He also asked us just to use his first name, because since he's returned, he's been in hiding. He didn't want to talk to me anywhere in public, and visiting his house in this small town, just outside the country's capital, San Salvador, would have drawn attention. We met at a hotel outside town.
There aren't people from here at this hotel, just people from other countries.
Jose told me he'd had a scare with the gangs within hours of coming back. He and his cousin were on their way back home from the deportee processing center. Relatives had picked them up, and on their way back, a group of gang members circled the truck they were in and questioned Jose and his cousin.
It was just because we are young guys and aren't from there. And when they see a guy they don't know, they assume he was sent from a rival gang.
Jose says the gang members made some calls and decided he and his cousin weren't a threat. It could have ended differently.
The same day that I returned to El Salvador, I could have lost my life.
If it sounds like Jose is paranoid, keep this in mind. UNICEF recently ranked El Salvador as the top country in the world for child murder. Jose says his problems began 2 years ago when he had to cross that bridge in his town and enter MS-13 territory to go to school.
They came to find me with a 12-gauge shotgun and told me not to come back.
Jose changed schools, but then MS-13 members gunned down Jose's neighbor in the street and said Jose would be next. Jose went to stay with his grandmother in another town and took up carpentry to help support his mom, a widowed seamstress. This summer, his uncles in Virginia paid for Jose's two failed attempts to get out of the country. Now back in El Salvador, Jose says he wishes his government would do more to help young people.
If the government had schools, workshops, or gave young people jobs, I think violence would go down a lot.
But Jose knows change won't come soon, and he says he still wants to go to the U.S. But for now, his focus is on staying safe in El Salvador. He's living with relatives in a place where criminals haven't taken control, and he hopes the same gang problems he's faced before won't creep up there, too.
Jude Joffe Block sent us that report from San Salvador. She's now back at KJZZ in Phoenix. It sounds like it's been a pretty tense time for Jose. How did you meet him?
There's a place in San Salvador where migrants are bused back from Mexico, and there's certain days where young unaccompanied minors come back. And so we went on one of those days, and there's these guards at the gate, and actually only the parents of the children are allowed inside. And that's where we met Jose's mother, and she was very eager for his story to get out, and so that's how we met him.
Right. So eager to get the story out, but you seem to have a pretty tricky time finding a place to talk with him. You must have been concerned that you were putting him in jeopardy, regardless of how private a space you found to talk.
Yeah, that was a really tense day because finding that place where we could feel safe, that was tricky. And it was hard because I didn't know the area. So we had to take cues from them. And ultimately, we found that hotel to sit in. But, you know, in El Salvador, what I kept finding over and over was just that people weren't comfortable having us come visit them at home, just in these small towns where there's a lot of violence. That wasn't a safe thing to do.
So what's going to happen next with Jose?
I've spoken to him a couple times by cell phone since we did that first interview, and he's sounding a little bit less shell-shocked about being back, a little bit more upbeat. He's gotten out of his hometown, which was a big deal. That was a big point of stress, to be back in the town where he was threatened. And he's out of there now. He's with relatives, and he's been able to find some work doing carpentry.
Is there any gang violence in this new town that he's in?
That's the big issue. I mean, there's a lot of people moving around El Salvador right now looking for safe places, trying to move from one neighborhood where they've had issues into another area. And a lot of these people, the big question is there going to be problems in their new home as well?
What about the police presence in that town you were in, the town with the bridge? Did authorities seem to have any control over what was happening there?
When we were there, we didn't see any police, but something that Jose and his mother told us is that they felt a lot of frustration. They didn't feel any confidence in the police. They hadn't reported the threats out of fear that could make things worse for them. And they were frustrated because, like what we see in the U.S. as well, there was a sense that young men were targeted, whether or not they were criminals, strip searched by police. So they felt frustrated that Jose had often been treated like a criminal by the police, and they felt like the police weren't going after the real criminals.
Jude, you keep referring to that town outside San Salvador. What's the name of it?
So Jose and his mom actually asked us not to use the name of their town in this report because it's such a small place, but it's in the state of La Paz, and it was about a half hour outside of the capital, San Salvador.
I got to say, Jude, there's something especially disturbing that these gangs that Jose and many others are running in fear from. They're born in Los Angeles, and then they take their activities back to their families' native towns. What role does the city of Los Angeles have in the growth of the violence in El Salvador?
Yeah, I think this is a huge issue in terms of trying to understand the origins of the violence, but also to try to look at the solutions. And so one thing that's happening now is that there's a former deputy mayor from Los Angeles who had headed up anti-gang programs there, and he's now a consultant looking into how to do the same in Central America. He's working on some programs that USAID is funding with the essential idea that these are the same gangs. And so if there were ways to curb that violence in Los Angeles, that might work as well in Central America.
Jude Joffe Block, just back from El Salvador. Jude's trip to El Salvador was made possible by the public radio collaboration Fronteras. Reporter Kate Sheehy contributed to that story. Jude, great to speak with you. Thanks.
Thank you.
So you just heard one migrant story of trying to come to the U.S., and we'd like you to tell us what other kinds of stories you'd like to hear about immigration. Let us know at our Global Nation Facebook group. The link to get there can be found at pri.org/globalnationexchange.